You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome to River Cafe Table 4, a production of iHeartRadio and Atomize Studios.
Hi, I'm Michael Caine, and I'm here with a very good friend of mine called Ruthie Rogers.
I often say that the real reason I have a restaurant is that once a week I get to walk Michael Caine from Table 4 through the crowded restaurant to his car and say goodnight to a man I admire and I adore.
Is that me? Oh, yeah, well, I love the restaurant.
Well, I always say, what do we always say? Now we both say it. The only reason she has a restaurant, she gets to walk. In each episode, my guest reads a recipe they have chosen from one of our cookbooks. I talk about food, the food they cook, the food they eat, and most of all, the food of their memories.
The River Cafe have a dessert, which is my favorite, and it's called panna cotta with grappa. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the recipe in case you want to make it for yourself. Okay? Pour 900 milligrams of cream into a pan, add the vanilla pods and the lemon rind. Bring to the boil, simmer and reduce by a third. Pass through a sieve, then scrape the seeds from inside the vanilla pods back into the cream and discard the outer pods. Remove the gelatin from the milk, heat the milk until hot, then return the gelatin to the milk and stir until dissolved. Pour through a sieve into a hot cream and leave to cool, stirring occasionally. Lightly whip the remaining cream with the icing sugar, fold it into the cold cream mixture and then add grappa. It is now ready to be poured into six small bowls and put into the fridge for at least 3 hours. Or, if you like, overnight.
So, Michael, here we are at the River Cafe. But let's go back to the beginning. You were born in London?
Yeah, I was born in Bermondsey, which is South London. Mm-hmm. But I'm a Cockney because I was born in a part of Bermondsey which is opposite Bow Bells.
Okay.
And if you're born within the sound of Bow Bells, you're a Cockney.
What about food? Do you have memories of food?
My memory of food is this. My father was a Billingsgate Fish Market porter, mm-hmm. and he was a big gambler. Huh. And so he never bought steak or anything, it was too dear, but he used to nick a lot of fish. Huh. So for 15 years, I ate fish, every kind of fish you can imagine. And I realised that's a very healthy thing. Mm. And also another accidental healthy thing for me was the Second World War. You couldn't get any sugar, you couldn't get any of those things, those drinks that you have now with all this sugar in it. Mm. Then I was evacuated into the country, away from the smog, which in Bermondsey then was terrible because everyone had coal fires. But I was evacuated to the country and I lived on a farm for 6 years.
Do you remember the food there?
Oh, the food was wonderful. I mean, some of the food I caught myself because I could outrun a rabbit and I used to catch a rabbit with a stick.
Did you?
And give it to my mother to cook for dinner. Pheasant, partridge, we remember all those things. And so thinking back on it, health-wise, I was very lucky. And on top of all that, my mother insisted I ate porridge for breakfast for 15 years.
So it was healthy. You know, you had fish, you had pheasant, you had rabbit.
Porridge, rabbit, we had everything. And fresh vegetables. We lived on a farm.
Yeah.
We used to go and nick the cabbage. Mm-hmm. And eventually we came back to London and the council gave us a prefabricated house, which was made of asbestos. And they put them up like in 2 weeks. And people were sort of sympathising with people like me who were having to live in these prefabricated houses. Mm. And what they didn't know was what life was like before. Because in the flat we lived in, when I was a little boy, there was no toilet for a start. You had to go down to the garden. So I had very strong legs. Or you bought a pot, a pitch pot, you know. But when we walked into the prefab the first time, my brother Stanley and I, we were stunned. We were in a place which for the first time had electric light, an indoor toilet, and it had a little garden. It was unbelievable. In the middle of London, in the Elephant and Castle.
Do you remember the kitchen?
The kitchen was lovely. It was an electric stove and a refrigerator. You know, it was a refrigerator. We'd never seen a refrigerator. And we had a bathroom. I mean, when we used to have a bath in the kitchen, in a bathroom, my mother used to pour hot water in the kettle.
So you imagine your mother and father moving with their children to this prefabricated house, which had had a bathroom, it had a kitchen, it had a view, it had a garden. So how do you think that changed her way of being with you and cooking for you?
It was fabulous for her because it cut out masses of work to do things, you know. Mm. And she was so happy and the food got even better.
And why do you like the panna cotta?
Well, the panna cotta has little bits of fruit in it.
Yeah.
And I can eat that without conscience because that's what I'm eating fruit. You know, and I said, oh, look, there's a blackberry there.
Yeah, there's
and
a little bit of rhubarb, yeah.
And I just happen to have a little bit of extra panna cotta with it because I'm quite old and I can't stuff down sugar as much as I'd like to. And there's quite a lot of sugar in it.
There's quite a bit. But
I've just read the recipe.
Have you ever made it?
Oh, no. I never make desserts.
No, you don't.
I only do
Why
main courses and veg because I'm afraid of eating them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And what do you make when you make a main course? What do you like to cook?
Well, I'm the one responsible in the house for Sunday lunch. So I do roast beef, roast lamb, Christmas. I do the roast turkey.
Oh.
I do the best, allegedly the best roast potatoes anybody who ever came ever eaten.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I'm
What's
very
your
good
secret?
At that. Oh, the trick is when they're cooked is to mash them just a little bit.
Oh.
Just crack them open, put oil on them and then bake them again. So
okay.
The oil's got baked inside.
Oh,
yeah.
All right, we're going to try
it.
That.
But I've never eaten panna cotta in any other restaurant but yours.
Okay, well, we'll
and
have
I,
to.
And I always eat it every time I come.
I know you do.
Yeah.
I know. You come usually on a Wednesday or Thursday. You always sit on table four and you always sit at the same seat. And I was just wondering how you feel about restaurants and food.
Well, I love restaurants. I've owned a couple.
Mm.
I don't use restaurants for occasions.
Yeah.
Restaurants are part of my life.
Because your mom worked in the Lion's Corner House, didn't
she? Yeah, my mother was a cook in the Lion's Corner House. That was the first sort of brasserie in England that I ever saw. There were no brasseries in England.
Yeah.
But Lion's Corner House was a brasserie, I realised later when I went to France.
Yeah.
And loved brasseries in France. And I came back to England and I met Peter Langan. And we both said, there isn't a brasserie in London.
Mm-hmm.
And we opened Langan's Brasserie together.
What was it like being involved in a restaurant?
Fabulous.
What did you like about it?
Well, I loved the idea right from the start of designing the restaurant and then getting drunk for nothing.
How did you design it? What would your design be of the ideal restaurant?
Our design there is, I said, how are we going to design this? Peter Langan, my partner, he said, we've got masses of walls. It was an enormous restaurant.
Right.
He said, we cover them with pictures, paintings. I said, paintings? I said, I'm the money. I can't. He said, no, he said, we'll get wonderful paintings for very little money because I have the perfect partner who's going to help me choose them. I said, what's his name? He said, David Hockney. David even did the menu for our restaurant.
Yeah.
So I had a great time.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. With summer fast approaching, life tends to get busy. Seeing family, friends, hosting dinners, barbecues, picnics in the park, and everything else that comes between. What's also important is that we find time for ourselves to rest and recharge. Therapy can be a vital tool to assist you with boundaries and managing your schedule in a way that helps you stay happy and healthy. If you're looking to find a new therapist or start therapy for the first time, BetterHelp is worth a try. It's entirely online, which makes it easy, accessible, and flexible with your schedule. Completing a short questionnaire will match you to the right licensed therapist for you. If it's not working, you can change for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Ruthie today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/Ruthie.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
When you sort of started out acting and being an actor on your own, was food important to you then? Would you grab something or did you go back to your
house? No, I used to go to the cheapest possible restaurant I could find. I mean, I had no money. I found an Italian restaurant in Soho that served three-course meal for half a crown.
Half a crown.
Two and six.
I interviewed Paul McCartney the other day, and he was telling me that the first really good meal that he remembers was going with George Martin to L'Etoile, and that was an awakening for him of what food could be. Do you remember an experience going from inexpensive, you know, cheap restaurants to actually having your first meal?
Well, my first thing was when my dad died, he left me a bit of money, about £100, and I was so sad, I thought, I'm going to get on a train and go to Paris.
Yeah.
And I got on a train on my own and went to Paris. And I stayed there for about 7 months. And I adored the food in Paris. I loved it. But I adore English.
Do you remember how old you were when you went to Paris?
I was 17.
17?
Yeah.
So you took the £100. Did the £100 last you 7 months?
No, I worked. I used to sell on the street frites. Frites for a franc. You used to get a frites for a franc. Nice. I used to sell that. And I had a French mate who had a cafe, so out there. And then I had an American friend, another sort of broke like me. And he worked in the air terminal. So I used to go in there, and I could get free food from him. And I used to have an empty suitcase. And I'd sleep on the sofa as I was waiting for a plane, didn't have enough money.
Yeah.
But I loved Paris, and I learned to speak French. I speak very good French.
That's good. Do you remember, like, the first grand meal that you had when you had money? Were you taken to a restaurant and had something amazingly sophisticated to eat, and that made you interested in food, even what food could
be? Yeah, the restaurant was the White Elephant.
Oh.
That was in Curzon Street.
Yes, yes.
And we went there. I'm trying to think what the hell it was we had. Oh, it was to do with caviar.
Ah.
And there was caviar all over the place. And I never got over that. I'd never eaten caviar. I obviously couldn't afford it. But then this whole dish was caviar.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. I know who it was, too. Harry Saltzman had given me the part in Ypres File. And he took me to the White Elephant. And, of course, I was under contract. You know, I could have anything I liked. And I suddenly realised that's what my life was going to be.
Having great food could be possible.
Yeah. Having enough money to have great food.
Because I think food is an aspiration, isn't it? Having great food is something that you can.
It's lovely.
It opens you up to a world.
It's why I come here.
What about when you went to make the Italian job in Italy? What was that like?
Oh, I had a wonderful time. It was a great restaurant every evening.
Did they cook on set? Do you eat?
No, we didn't bother much with lunch because a movie is a hard thing to make, you know, especially one with all those cars and crowds like the Italian job. So we concentrated on that all day. I mean, you wind up having a sandwich or a bowl of spaghetti. But then you'd have a great meal in the evening.
And if you are in a film, do you really try and avoid food or do you find it's good to sit down and have
a meal? No, I avoid food. Yeah, I don't want to go to sleep in the afternoon when I'm supposed to be doing 10 pages of dialogue. Food makes you go to sleep.
When you make movies in LA, is there a restaurant that you go to over and over again?
Chasen's. We ate at Chasen's. Yes.
Tell us about Chasen's.
Chasen's was almost like a club. I used to go there every Friday. And you look around the room, and Alfred Hitchcock was always sitting there. Cary Grant was over there, you know. And it was one of those incredible places, you know. But everybody only ever went to the same restaurant on the same day. If you went to Chasen's on a Tuesday, well, it'd be crowded.
Yeah.
But there'd be no stars there. The stars were there Friday night. And Spargo was another one. Mm. Thursday, everyone was in Spargo. And the great thing about that is that there was great food and a great atmosphere, but there were stars everywhere. Mm. Just all the movie stars I've been seeing in movies all my life. My grandfather knew Alfred Hitchcock. Alfred Hitchcock was born in South London. Mm. His father had a grocery store next door to my great-grandfather. With Alfred Hitchcock, When I went to Universal making a picture, Gambit with Shirley MacLaine, I was given a dressing room bungalow next door to his. His was a permanent one. It was always there. Mine was a temporary one. And I got to know him very well. They were both from South London. And I said to him one day, I saw strangers on a train. And there wasn't one shot of a train in the entire movie, going along a track to somewhere. He said, whose viewpoint on the train would that have been? And there, in one line, he summed up directing movies. And I remember that.
You never did a movie with Hitchcock, did you?
I met people who did movies with him, and they loved him. I never did. Oh, I never got that lucky.
If you sit near the wood oven, you get a great view of what we're cooking, whether it's Dover soles, turbots, pigeons, or pieces of beef. Today, we're making potatoes, lemon, oregano, parsley, and black olive al forno. Potatoes are in here now with all the herbs, good olive oil, seasoned well. I'm going to incorporate all the Amalfi lemons, chopped, and chopped garlic a little bit later. If I put them in too soon, the garlic would probably go too quickly, as with the lemon. Now the potatoes have had a bit of a head start, then we'll get all the lemon and the garlic in there, and they will all come together.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
The other thing I think about restaurants, having worked in one and having an open kitchen, really seeing the people who come in, is that people do very private things in a public space. So they'll use a restaurant to fire someone, or they'll use a restaurant commit an affair, or they'll use a restaurant to get divorced. You see a lot of tears. But if you talk to my waiters, they will tell you about the amazing amount of people who cry.
Well, people at my table have cried, but with laughter, because I'm always doing jokes and stuff, you know, I consider myself a tough comedian.
But when you've been asked to be in a movie, you've had meetings with,
in Hollywood, you're always with executives and it's quite serious. But it's never dinner, it's always lunch.
It's always lunch,
I would never discuss business at dinner.
Okay.
You've got to come to lunch for that, because I'm not wasting a dinner doing this,
Do you think that's just you, or is it?
It's most people. You go into Hollywood restaurants at lunchtime, and it's all business.
Yeah.
It's all business lunches.
When Richard and I went to New York, the thing that I was really interested in was we were often taken out to lunch by his clients to the Four Seasons and the Secret Building. And the thing I still notice is that nobody drinks.
No.
You know, Richard asked for a glass of white wine, and I think they thought he was an alcoholic. And if you go around, they're having fantastic food, but with iced tea.
Like with New York, I find a restaurant and live in it.
Yeah.
My restaurant in New York was Elaine's.
Yeah.
Elaine was a lady who owned this restaurant, named after her. And she was one of my closest friends, and she was everyone's closest friend, not just mine. And you always met people there, you know. I mean, it was a very showbiz area.
Yeah.
Very showbiz.
I know for myself that people will return to a restaurant where they're welcomed with warmth, with kindness, and the food might not be the top priority, but people will come back to a restaurant if their chicken was overcooked or their lemon tart was a bit, curdly. But I certainly will not go back to a restaurant where I've been treated badly or people have been arrogant or, you want people to feel safe when they go in a restaurant.
I'm trying to remember a restaurant where I got treated badly. I never did, because I'm so fussy about restaurants and I read about them, before I go the first time.
Yeah.
And I've always been in restaurants all over the world. But the River Cafe in particular, someone took me there the first time. And I was stunned by the restaurant.
Why?
I had never seen a restaurant like that. It was the highest restaurant I'd been in, the widest. And being well known and people coming asking for autographs, you sit so far apart from each other that no one recognises you, especially if, like me, you've got a baseball cap and dark glasses on, you know?
That helps.
And you can see all the staff cooking. And there was a big boiler doing pizzas with great big flames coming out.
You would be meaning the wood oven.
A wood oven, yeah. And I had never seen a restaurant like that. I mean, in the 60s, the big popular restaurants were small Italian brasseries, which took over from the English restaurant, you know, where you had to leave at sort of 9 o'clock. About 8:30, you'd see the head waiter looking at his watch going, when are these bloody people leaving? But what there was also, you see, is the timing. You can stay as long as you like.
Yeah.
You leave when you finish the dinner, not when the waiters have got fed up.
I think that when Rose and I started the River Cafe, we were at a point in restaurant world, and it wasn't just us. It was Alice Walters in San Francisco and Sally Clark in London and Rowley Lee in London as well. And I think we were at a point where you could either go to a very, very established, well-cooked meal, formal. It was an occasion.
Yeah.
You would go out, you'd dress up, and you'd be humiliated by the wine waiter, you know, but you would have a good meal.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there were the kind of, like you say, the cheap Italians or the Greek or the places where you could go and have a great time, but maybe not eat so well. And we thought, well, why can't you combine the two? Why can't you do a place that has elegance and it has drama, all the things we look for, but also you could have fun.
From my point of view as an actor, I realised that I love writing. I'm writing a book now, another one, yeah. And I love to garden and I love to cook.
Yeah.
And if you think of the three things, you do them on your own. My life is spent with 150 people all day. And when I go home, I write, cook or garden all on my own. And that's why I chose those things. I didn't know I'd chosen them for that.
One of the questions that I ask everybody at the end of the conversation is, we have food when we're hungry, we have food when we're celebrating, but sometimes we just want food for comfort. What would that be, your comfort food?
Well, years ago it was sausage and mash.
Yes.
Now it's caviar.
Oh, okay. To visit the online shop of the River Cafe, go to shoptherivercafe.co.uk.
River Cafe Table 4 is a production of iHeartRadio and Atomize Studios. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at betterhelp.com. That's better, H-E-L-P.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.